Fighting Tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Knights of the Storm. Today is Thursday, March 29th. Yes, I know you're watching this on the 30th. We are pre-recording, but today is March 29th, 2024, and we have a very special guest with us today. But first, I am your host, Jason Barker, my co-host and sidekick, Angus Mustang, or maybe I'm his sidekick. Anyway, we have a really special guest. You're the host of the Monica Perez Show, where you cover the topics of the day. You often do deep dives. And then you jump into controversial topics and you take a look at it from different angles. It's really awesome. You are the host of the Monica Perez Show. Monica, welcome. And please further introduce yourself.
Thank you so much. Yes, I certainly see Angus in my chat when I do my kind of live news of the minute newsreels on Tuesdays and Thursdays on like every place that you watch your stuff, YouTube and Rumble and Rockfin and all that. I used to have a radio show for 8.5 years on WSB Radio in Atlanta, and it basically died of COVID. And then I did the Propaganda Report with my radio sidekick, Binkley, for like 2 or 3 years, and we really connected with people during that terrible time and just discovered a whole new world, a new community. And it was, you know, very eye-opening period, and I had to take some time off because I just hit it too hard and didn't have time for my family. But now I'm back, but as a consequence of that, I have like 1,000 shows archived on MonicaPerezShow.com, and anything you want to know my opinion on, I've probably given it. But right, you know, any day, a couple of times a week, you can ask me personally live, and that, I guess that's what. Well, we're not live now, but anything you want to ask me about, I probably have an opinion.
Right on. Yeah, the live is definitely awesome. We typically do it live, but sometimes there's scheduling conflicts, so we have to do it when we can. But we will be monitoring live. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, you know, if okay. I've time traveled.
Drop into the chat. Yep.
Yeah, I will be monitoring the chat. So anyway, we typically start off the show with a verse of the week. So let me go ahead and kick that off. It's a little something different today. Well, it was supposed to play a sound, but I don't think it did.
I heard a sound for a second.
Oh, yeah. There. I don't know what's going on. Okay, I'm having a little problems with my studio today, but I think we'll make it through. Anyhow, our friend Rhonda Tate, she's a friend of the show. She's been on the show. She helps Tiger, you know, Angry Tiger. She helps him with EMF research and some other things and is on his show quite frequently. But she posted this today, and since it's Good Friday, I thought this would be great to do in lieu of a verse of the week. She says, or posts this, on this sacred day, may the blessings of Good Friday fill your life with peace, joy, and spiritual renewal. Having meaningful and blessed observance. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's hard to stay like on a Friday. And most people don't observe it. Like the world does not stop, although right. I suppose it should. And it's just hard to keep that front of mind that, you know, all the crappy things we do, you know,
right.
contributed to the, to this, you know, this, what Jesus went through on this day. And I, you know, it's humbling.
Yeah, it's like, well, we got to remember, I know life gets busy, but we all wind up at the same destination, don't we? Well, one of two. So
which way are you going, Jason? I'll meet you
yeah.
there.
Yeah, well, we all come to the end of the road anyway. And right. what are you going to do on that day? Let's
right,
just,
right.
It's always good to tuck that away. How am I going to explain this one?
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump into this. Angus, since you set this interview up, which is super awesome, I'll let you steer the conversation and let me know what you want me to pull up on the screen and we'll talk about it.
Today I'd like to start out with the Baltimore Bridge disaster. And one of the things, I was watching your show the other day. So I had driven from Connecticut to New Jersey that day, and I do not listen to the news. I don't listen to any news anymore other than what I get from, you know, in this community here.
Right.
I happened to get to New Jersey and I turned on my phone and I see this thing about the bridge and started. So later on that night, I was listening to your show, and sometimes I don't know which way you're going to go with stuff. Mm-hmm. And it actually surprised me that you had a little bit of a conspiracy hat on that day.
Right.
And
out
I was
of
like,
the
gate. Oh,
no way. This is legit. This is not an accident. It's just, we're not incompetent like that. Stuff does not fall down when you bump into it. No. And shit doesn't bump into it. You know what I mean? Like these things have gone on. How many thousands of, you know, incidents?
Yeah, I know. How many? Yeah. Let's have a little look at that clip and then we'll discuss what each of our feelings are about it.
The the biggest screen I can.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate on this one. I'm going to call it just a massive incompetence. We can discuss it, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Later. So this is a clip. This is the unadulterated. I think this was taken from that little sanctuary fort thing. I looked at Google Maps, yeah, and there's only one angle that you can get.
And yeah, so the lights are going to go out just at the critical moment, by the way. So it's backlit right now.
Mm-hmm.
But then the light's going to go out. So that's clever.
Well, I had somebody call me and tell me that there was explosions on the bridge and it shouldn't have fell down. Now, I'm an engineer. I was an engineer for the Army. Great.
Perfect.
So I'm actually a member of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Wow. Yeah, good on you.
I was on that way back in the day.
Yeah.
I think it would have fell the way it fell. We'll talk about it.
Let's see. Yeah.
So this is in 1/4 speed. Nice. Like I said, it's unadulterated. This is not one that I got off the news. This is the actual footage.
Yep.
And let's see. So here, this is right before it hits it. You can see the boat is right there. Mm-hmm. You see the splash come up. And the reason I pulled this, I'm going to kind of talk through it a little bit because people will be listening on the radio.
And wait, we are going to have to go back to all where right before it makes that hard right.
I can do that. I'll speed it back up for that.
Go ahead.
But now you can see it's hit the
pylon.
And it's breaking here.
It's already buckled there.
And there were what looks to be explosions, but I don't think they were. That's
where do you see the explosions? The little flash. Okay. Yeah. Well, it would have been done already.
That's my point.
Yeah, so explosions would have happened before that.
You see this bright flash right up here in the upper left?
No, I think there would be an explosion in the pillar itself. Like
underneath, right.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, People said they heard an explosion, but you're saying that's just when it snaps, it makes a sound like that probably.
Or the boat hitting it would make a loud.
Yeah, big, like a big noise.
Yeah. So you can see in the upper left here, there's a bright kind of flash developing.
Yeah.
And you can see, look, that kind of looks like an explosion. Did you see it?
I didn't.
You want me to back it up a little bit?
Yeah.
Right here. I don't know if you can see my mouth. Okay,
well, that's an interesting thought, that it wouldn't have come down that way. That's what the theory is, that it had to be helped along. I could see that. Are you going to show me again?
I think that's what my buddy was trying to tell me.
Yeah, you don't agree with it, but I want to just see I want to see.
Could you show his, me?
Is that what I'm looking at? That little white spot that is at the crest there? Or the,
yeah,
let me. Give me 1 second back, like literally 1 second. Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
The left side where it's buckled.
Yep. Now hit it.
Right where all this smoke is right here.
Yeah. So what's with the smoke right there?
That was from the engine of the.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All righty. All right. But so let's hit it.
Pay attention to that area. I might have went back too far. This is at 1/4 speed. So, oh.
Whoa. Hmm. Well, there you go.
I probably could speed it up just a little bit. This super slow speed right now. Let's go
with
that.
Fine. That's good. This is good.
But there, okay, watch it where the smoke is. You see that?
Yeah.
All that fire right there.
Yeah,
that
that's definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely fire. Now take a look up here on the right hand side.
Yeah.
Actually, it's right here.
Yeah, I see it.
You see that right there? Mm-hmm. And you're going to see another similar. Where did it go?
Yeah, there's another one over there.
Oh, no, it's very far right.
Yeah. Well, that's. Are you saying that when it breaks, it's going to make a spark?
Well, it could be conduit with wiring for the lights in it too. Maybe three phase, which would give you a good spark like that. But my question is, if that was electrical, the first one should have tripped the breakers.
Hmm.
Unless they
got
running from so you wouldn't have juice running through it on the second one.
So you can
I don't know how it's wired either. So.
Right here, this piece is already separated, and there's an initiation of what looks to be an explosion right here. And you see it go up right there?
Yeah.
But it's like you said, it's already falling at this point. I think my friend, his argument was, and let's go back and look at the entire bridge as a whole.
Yeah, I want to see the boat making that hard right.
Okay, let me speed it back up.
Thing that I think is fishy.
Now that's where I could have a little bit of flexibility. And I tried to find out today if that boat had the
ability. I mean, I don't think you need to do twice as fast. What regular real time would be fine.
Oh, it's pretty long.
Oh, okay.
That thing was not moving.
Oh, really? Okay.
Look at how slow that,
it's kind of it. I think it's maybe better.
That sped up there, or is that real time?
That is 1.5 times.
Let's just see what it looks like at normal. Let's see what it really, that's going to be slower. Okay. So this is the ship 9 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, are there, yeah, there are lights on the bridge to Angus's point. There's a truck going over. I feel so bad for those poor workers.
Well, two of them survived, which is a miracle.
Two of them survived, yeah.
My wife brought up a good point. They stopped the traffic on the bridge just before the boat hit, but they never got the workers off.
They were in their cars.
Those guys, like, run. Or,
maybe there really weren't six workers. They said they found two in a truck.
Yeah, they found those later, too. One of the vehicles didn't make it off the bridge in time after they stopped traffic.
All right, so here's the thing. It looks dark, actually. Would it be dark?
The power went out on the boat. Now, see, this is where I'm kind of like the devil's advocate. If they had made some kind of a maneuver, and this is the danger, I think, about automated driving and drive-by-wire.
Yeah.
A boat like that, you can't have cables. You're not going to be able to muscle a rudder.
Yeah,
like
right.
So they're probably hydraulic driven, which is electronically controlled from a wheel.
So it's going to stop as soon as the power goes down. But was it supposed to be going under that bridge, or was it not?
Yes, right.
It was supposed to be going under the bridge, and so it was not fully, it was supposed to make a hard right under the bridge, and it didn't, or was supposed to go to the middle and go turn under there? Do you know what
I would imagine it's supposed to go to the middle, because that's the highest point.
Look, the light's back on.
Yeah, that's the shipping lane. Yeah, then it goes out again.
I know, but I'm just saying, it's when the lights go on that it takes that hard right.
Yeah,
but with a ship that size, if the rudder was at hard right when the power first went out, and then the power comes on intermittently,
it would still be or not?
Yeah, there's no way they could correct that fast.
Got it. Right. All right, so it was meant to make that hard right before the lights went out, and then when the lights went on again, it was making the hard right, but it had drifted further towards the pylon.
So actually, it's a straightaway. They were well within the middle of the channel, which goes directly under the center of the bridge. And, but there are currents and stuff.
So the angle must be throwing me off here, but it just seemed to me like it just made a hard right there. But yeah, it did. The lights went off.
Yeah. People say it did make a hard right. It came off its course, made a hard right.
Yeah. Cause the way it's described in the newspapers that it drifted, but it didn't drift. It made a hard right. And let's watch now. So the lights are off. It makes impact, crashes right into the weakest, you know, because there are other ones that wouldn't have come down. Just those two middle ones are the ones that are like sawhorses.
Yeah, it's if you look at it, it's like an arch, right?
Is this
is a combination bridge in actuality. It's a truss bridge, but the center part is actually half suspension bridge.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. So the truss is held up by these two legs, but then that center deck is actually held up by like cables or some kind of suspension system. So it's a combination bridge, and there's no way that would stay up without one leg of the two legs of the arch.
No, once the leg's gone, I can see how it would not stay up. I'm just saying, how easy is it to take one of those legs out, and how easy is it for a ship to get that out of control at that speed? You know, like, It looks like
the lights came back on it right there.
Yeah, and then they go out again.
On the side there.
I think they go
back on. Yep.
But there's nothing they could do at that point. I mean, they did.
No, at that point, no.
And here it gets ready to go. Oh, good.
But you know, the other odd thing is they're in a harbor, and usually coming and going, there's tugs.
And I got some info on that, which is why I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Why was there no tug?
Laziness. I think they used to be escorted out, like every ship escorted in and out. But you know,
they would probably say they're short labor,
staff, whatever.
Short staff. Nobody to just man the tugs.
Yeah, see, complacent. But stuff like that, to me, makes it seem more like it was intentional. I mean, that's just avoidable. That's
especially, this bridge was built. It was constructed in 1976, and I think they completed it in 1977. And boats were not this big back then. They were nowhere near that. Look at how quickly that comes down.
See, that is, so that's a couple of my concerns right there. One is not the fact that it hit the bridge. You wouldn't right. expect that whole bridge just to crumble like a set of Legos. I mean, that whole thing just...
Well, here's
so why. Either they need to do... Hopefully, they haven't engineered any other bridges like that.
Yeah.
And if they did, they would put better protection around the bridge.
That's what I think the Miami condo collapse was all about. They want to take out all the stuff from the 80s, and so there are probably plenty of bridges like this they want to take out.
You never know.
So what is it, many questions of the bridge have collapsed so quickly? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the bridge was not its flimsy structure was prone to collapse. So Angus, are you saying that it's simply the fact that it happened in a flash, like it took no time for that? For the fall to transmit and create that kind of pressure, like it would have just taken a little longer for the other weak points to snap? Or why do you think, what's fast to you?
Why do we think it was that fast?
Why do you question, why does the fastness of it seem sketchy to you?
I mean, you look at the way that, I mean, there was more than one pillar holding up. To me, it should have been... maybe that section right in there, but you know, again, so I'm not saying that it didn't happen, you know, but if it's true and this really was an accident and all that, then they really need to go back and look at all these bridges before it happens again.
Yeah. I feel like total devastation like that. You know, I don't want to say what would make this more plausible to me, because honestly, like, I'm afraid that they learn from us, you know, the flaws in their psyops. But it's like war or these mass shooting events. You don't get 100% hit rate, or like October 7th. You don't get 100% hit rate. You don't get that kind of... I would expect to have bridges dinged up a lot more, you know, have near catastrophic things have happened a few times before, like the take the whole bridge out catastrophe in a port that ships LNG. Which, you know, probably doesn't want a bridge like that.
Well, let me. So here in Connecticut, in Hartford, Connecticut, they built a civic center in downtown. So that was
early
70s.
Yeah, I'm from Rockland County, and I think that's where like the Dead were. They would have shows there.
Yep, and so that roof, it was the first one. It was they built it on the ground, and then they raised it up into the air, so there was no columns to block your view anywhere, and they said this will stand up to 5 feet of snow. And it was just after a UConn game that it collapsed. There was 3 feet of snow with ice on top.
Ice, yeah.
And that, they learned right away, we're never doing this again. We're never building another roof like this. So when they rebuilt the Civic Center, you know, now it has columns and everything to support it. And they've never built another one in the country. So that's what I'm saying. Hopefully they look at this bridge and go, well, we're never doing that again. Or the ones that are out there like that, we need to take better care of and make sure that tugs are dragging these boats in and out and not just giving them, you know,
but
free ride because we don't have enough people.
How long did it take for the roof to collapse?
At the Civic Center?
Yeah.
It was like immediate.
Right. Same thing with the Citibank building in New York. Citibank building, the one that's like slanted.
Yeah.
And I worked in that building. It used to be a tall building and now it's not it's not the tallest building around. Immediately they made it slanted like that to put solar panels on it. It was in the 70s, like during the energy crisis. Immediately they had torrential rain, like waterfalls. They had slabs, sheets of ice, I think maybe killed people down below.
Yep.
It was just because they never put the solar panels on, and the solar panels were supposed to warm the snow and the ice. So like it was never supposed to happen, but when you've got a massive engineering, like that crazy bridge that you always see the picture, that was immediate. Yeah. So I'm just saying, when something's there for 50 years and there's a bunch of other ones like that, it feels to me like a catastrophic destruction, total, it's gone like that, as the first time I ever heard of any of this kind of thing happening. But whatever, it doesn't even matter. You know, probably we maybe could actually prove it. It's possible, like the 9/11, you know, architects and engineers for 9/11 truth, like basically prove the 9/11 stuff. But there are so many agendas to serve. It's so, and 9/11 same way, like there was the insurance payment. There was the fact that you couldn't take those buildings down because of asbestos. Angus, we were talking about the Tappan Zee Bridge. And yep. You know, in the Tappan Zee Bridge, they had to build the new bridge first before mm-hmm. they could take the other one out, which means if you wanted to open up that port to bigger ships or some other kind of shipping lane configuration that bridge was not accommodating, you would have to wait until you built the new one to take the old one down, which would be years. And if there's an LNG boom now, I mean, it would be a lot better for the people who wanted to redo that to get insurance money to pay for it and to take it out without asking and to take it out without having to build a new one first. So if it's a good thing for that, for the commerce in that harbor to have a new bridge, I'm going to say coincidence.
And I heard that bridge was slated to be replaced.
Oh, was it? I didn't know.
Yeah,
I'd have to look to find
that, but I had heard that was slated within the next couple of years to be replaced. And that was the first thing I thought of. What a better way to save time, just knock it down.
Yes, I was wondering if it was like a historic thing that they weren't going to take down. And then there was this big like homage to it in the Wall Street Journal. But when I told that on the air the other day, people wrote to me and said that thing was awful. It was scary. It was wobbly. Nobody liked it. And so, I mean, the insurance companies it is in their interest to get to the bottom of this. Could you imagine if they actually, but you know, they probably go along to get along.
Right.
All right. Go ahead, Jason.
I'm sorry.
Because you're talking about, you know, do we have other bridges like this? I'm going to show you personally. This is a bridge I've driven over many times. This is out in Brunswick, Georgia. It goes from
Georgia for a long time, but oh, really? I've never been to Brunswick.
Yeah, it's right there where Jekyll Island is.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Yeah, this is the inlet.
Now that's a suspension bridge.
Right. That's a pure suspension bridge, but it's pretty much upheld the same way as the other. Now you can imagine if you look at this, a barge could easily mm-hmm. take that out, right? There's no concrete buttresses or anything.
What does go through there?
I will show you.
Okay.
But this is look what goes through
there. Wow.
I was there walking the beach with my wife and my grandson. And we're walking on Jekyll Island on a place called Driftwood Beach. And I look up and I'm like, what is that? And this was a car carries a bunch of cars.
That does go through the Baltimore port too.
The thing is humongous. Like the picture doesn't show it justice, but it's humongous. And I brought this up to show that stuff does happen. Ship happens, right?
Yeah, that's it. Well, what did happen?
They got hung up on something and they turned hard to one direction. And it didn't respond. And then when it broke free, they went too hard and then it tipped over.
Yeah.
And then the only reason it's here and not in the shipping lane is because they got tugs out there fast enough to push it up onto a sandbar. So it didn't obstruct the channel.
Yeah. Or, I mean,
and everybody survived that, by the way, every single person. Survived
that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. The ship I served on in the Navy in 84 hit a freighter off the coast of Cuba. It was an aircraft carrier, and you know, same thing. By the time they saw it, which there was a lot of things, you know, that the captain just didn't want to give way or whatever, but he broadsided it, you know, and the ship stopped on a dime. Basically, it destroyed the bow.
Yeah,
but they can't make fast maneuvers. You know, the last second they decide that we need to turn. You know, it doesn't happen.
I do believe. I mean,
the other thing is these shipping containers and like the one that had the cars on it, they have a lot more mass because they're designed just to carry stuff, not just people and weapons and stuff.
This was a cargo ship that.
Right.
You can see the.
No, I'm talking about. He's talking about the Navy ships. Yeah.
Yes.
The Navy ships.
My dad was on a destroyer escort, by the way, in World War II. Nice. And the Navy came to his funeral and it made me cry because they like, you know, it was like 50 years later and they were kneeling and folding flags and thanking us for his service and everything. It was really, it just shows the power of the ritual and the badgery. What do you call them? Badgery?
My father-in-law, he was saying
regalia.
Out of the Navy for quite some time. And when he passed away in 2012, we had the same thing. You know, they came to the honor guard and all that.
Very moving. And it was so nice to think that you were, you know, fighting a
good I got that to look forward to, I guess.
So. Yeah, there you go. Well, you don't, but someone will see it. But yeah, so let's just, first of all, I just want to ask one quick question about that, the bridge that you showed, that pier suspension bridge and the key bridge. What do you think the height there from surface to bridge is?
Yeah, it is ridiculous. This is probably the highest bridge I've ever been on. I would not ride my motorcycle across it because the wind.
Yeah, wind, yep.
Yeah, there's another one in Savannah that's probably about as high, but I know.
But see how that's got pilings around the pillars too, so it would be hard for to actually hit that close.
And I'm wondering just how high the key bridge is. It looks.
Like I had that actually high. Here. Yeah. I had a graphic with it, and
I mean, it just looks like a bridge you don't want. And now Angus is totally confirming that.
It might have been a different site, but it's considerably high. It's pretty high.
Okay.
But going back to the things that came across, you know, people called me and said, hey, I think this was a false flag. All right. Number one was claims of explosives, which we can see that those things happened after the bridge started to fall. That it wouldn't. And the other claim was that it wouldn't fall down. And this graphic's pretty nice because this is exactly what I thought when I saw it. And it goes through the events here. So number one, it takes out this pillar right here. And my buddy was telling me, well, it would have sagged, but it would have not fell. No. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Looking
at the drawing, that's a long span for that one right. area to be held up.
Yeah.
Well, even if it tried to stay up, the second point is the stress was too high.
Yeah, the force, like the weight mm-hmm. that, you know, to jerk it down like that. Yeah, I could totally, that all is fine. It just seemed to me weird that the thing just slammed into it like that. It happened at night, so you don't really have to deal with that many, you know, families of victims, whatever. It hit right at the weak point that would take it out. But you know what? It doesn't really matter that much whether it was true or false, because it just shows how totally disconnected we are from any access to truth, and how ready to pounce on catastrophe our pathological government. Every government I've ever heard, the first thing they do, who's going to pay for it? We need more money. Even like Biden's like, oh, the feds should pay for this. And the Republican on the ground is like, yes, they should. And it's like, I'm not paying for I pay for the cars. I pay for the gas. I pay for what I buy. I don't need to pay for your bridge to subsidize the cars and the gas and everything. I don't want any part of it. But they, you know, they're 100%. Angus, you were like, yeah, they're slating to get rid of it. I figured in my mind, I was like, there's probably already a plan for the new bridge. There's probably a plan that you can find for the new bridge already. And you just gave a perfect reason for that.
It never let a good crisis go to waste, as they like to say.
What was that little snippet that you told me before we came on, that little factoid you found out about the owner of the boat?
Oh, yeah. So that's what I wanted to bring up. So let's all put our conspiracy hats on really tight here. Here we go.
I found this interesting when you told me. Okay. Oh, you share screen? Okay, there we go.
Yep. So this is Angela
Chow. I know who she is.
You know who she is?
Yeah.
So, you know, how much of this is true? I don't know. But
she was in my
is the CEO of the shipping company.
She was the CEO of the shipping company.
That owned that ship.
Talk about tripping.
You know what happened to her?
Yes.
You know what happened
to her? You missed my show. Angus, you missed my show on Thursday.
I'm sorry.
I said, it's so weird that they found two people submerged in a car as this, because Angela Chow had that happen to her. And then there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about, you know, if you get submerged in a car, what do you do? And I thought, I updated people on the Angela Chow story. I said, it's so weird. Like when somebody goes under like that in a weird accident, then they have other weird accidents like that, just basically haystacking it in the news. Wow. She, are you sure? I mean, or can we, can we validate this right now?
She's Angela the sister-in-law and the sister-in-law of Mitch McConnell.
I know.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Here's something interesting to think about. So they found two bodies in a red pickup truck
Yeah.
in the river. If you go back and look at the video, there should not have been any vehicles because they stopped the traffic well before.
Well, I heard somebody front running that whitewash before. It was a guy, and it was the same guy in all the different articles I read, which is a big red flag to me. A guy who worked at the pothole company said this weird thing. He said there were six guys fixing potholes, and they would have all been in their vehicles because they were on break. And I thought, that's a weird thing to say, a weird thing to be true at 1:30 in the morning. It's a weird thing to know that they'd be in their vehicles on break. Like, that was a weird thing to say. And then all of a sudden, two of them, supposedly it was, or my original reporting, I thought it said that the two of the workers were in the vehicle. Maybe they changed the story because it sounded crazy. But the reports I read, not the workers.
The reports I read, yeah, said it was like two random people they found in their. You would know because they had their vests and stuff on, right? Their working vests.
Yeah, but maybe they weren't even like. So, are there still six workers missing? Like was originally reported.
I don't know. It's supposedly the six, and then the additional two. So it should be eight dead total, and then the two survivors. So they were these two people found in the pickup, and I found this interesting because if you watch the video in real time. They stopped the traffic, which is why I wanted to go to a point too, to say if this was intentional. My friend was saying that he thought the crew was on, and I'm like, no, the crew dropped the anchor. They called in the warning. They called for a tug. As soon as they realized that they were having a problem, they called for a tug. They warned the construction crew, which stopped traffic. Okay. So I don't believe that this was intentional by the crew. Okay. Now the question I have, because these things have auto navigation systems and you can pretty much put it on autopilot. Does it have connectivity? That's where I would go to a false flag type of
thing. Or a backup. Does it have redundancy?
Being hacked.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they talk about the black box, you know, the recorder stopped working. Well, yeah, if the power goes out, it's going to stop recording. Of course.
It was
with a black box. That should never happen. As far as I'm concerned, you would think that if anything's going to have a backup, then the black box should be backed.
Yeah, but anyway, back to the vehicle. If you watch the video, you could see kind of like the last vehicle go across the bridge, and that's well before it was hit.
Right. Yeah.
So did they just come across two bodies that have been in the river for a while? You know, I don't know.
Oh, well, maybe the bridge collapse was to cover up the two bodies that they dumped in there. There's a new one. Write that one down. But so this woman supposedly was drunk, backed her car into a pond, and died.
Yeah, she was the latest report says that she was on the phone for 8 to 9 minutes with her friend as the car was filling up. She was calm and said, "I love you." I'm not buying that. But it took 24 minutes for the responders to get to her. They were asking for tools to smash the windows in. And but half of the team was like setting up their like shit on the shore and dragging their feet. It looked like to me it was a sketch. That was a sketchy story, too.
I'm just going to ask one question: is where was RFK when this happened?
Oh, you think he's behind it? Oh, because does he have beef with Mitch McConnell?
Well, no, but I mean, Ted Kennedy couldn't drive a car across a bridge either.
Oh, that is a good point. They say that was a setup. That what's his face was set up, but who knows? Ted. You know, this is annoying because my link to the article that I had the guy saying that the people would have been on break is dynamic. So I went to look at the article, but it's like a timeline. So my article is gone. That's very clever. Yeah.
That's annoying, isn't it?
Very clever.
See, sometimes when this stuff happens, I always look and go, did they do this on purpose? Just so it throws so much confusion into the conspiracy theory world, into the alt media, that it just keeps people, you know, it's like, just throw them another bone for them to go chase.
Oh, a different like, yeah. Like put facts about the false flag or that it's a false flag or do a false flag, like all of the above, like what's keeping us engaged.
I think it's all the above. FOIA.
It's like a FOIA request. Yeah. They give you, you know, not non-digital. They'll give you handwritten documents, like 10,000 boxes of them. Be like, go find your information.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They just bury it.
Well, like we were talking today about the patents, you know, it's like 5,000 pages of dry reading. It's like, who's really going to read this? I mean, really?
Yeah.
Or
sometimes I think that is what the conspiracy stuff is about. Like, even if this were real, they would definitely throw conspiracy stuff in there to discredit conspiracies.
Right.
Because ultimately they would be discredited. But I mean, that's the thing.
And that's why I'm not quick to jump on the false flag narrative. The only way I could see this being a false flag from what I've looked at is if somehow someone hacked into the boat. And I don't know that they have the capability to do that.
Right.
Especially when the power goes out, does it even if it did have some kind of a cellular connection or something where it could be, and we know that this is possible because we looked at patents, Ford's filing patents where your car can repossess itself and drive itself to the dealer. You know,
well, I know, but especially, but we're talking about if there really is a Mitch McConnell connection, then I think that we can put any doubt to rest about like if it was possible to make this thing happen on purpose. But what, I mean, what are you going to do? The only thing I tell people is we never compromise your principles. Don't buy their like policy recommendations that infringe on the Bill of Rights based on Black Swan events or things that they tell you, or like these new things that the founders didn't contemplate, because you cannot believe anything that you see on the screens. You can't believe the official narratives. There's no way to verify them. See, there's no way for us to know for sure. You can say what you see is what you get, but a lot of time, I mean, when you look at, contrary to this, when you look at the 9/11 footage, you can see the, you can see it explode. My kid, he came home from school one day and he said, "Mom, you were so right about 9/11. I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Well, they showed us the film on at school." I said, "They told you it was an inside job?" And he said, "No, but you could see it exploding."
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're looking in real time. Open-minded, you just,
You know what I said when 9/11 happened? I was actually on typhoon duty in Okinawa, Japan. And when we had a typhoon, we would have to go, man, it was a communications facility because that was communications my first time in. And the place had to run 24/7. So when a typhoon came and they locked everybody down, some of us would have to go about half staff or so. We'd have to go and just kind of chill there until the typhoon was over. So my buddy and I were sitting there and the first plane hit. We heard about it. We're in there watching it on the big screen in the main office. And we seen the second one hit. And my buddy looked at me, he says, "We're going to war." And then when the first tower collapsed, I said, "Thank God they put explosives in those things to bring them down."
Bring them straight down. I thought that they were in there
right
already.
You thought they went in there to take them down before they collapsed, right?
Well, I thought they were built, you know, built in.
Yeah, that's
the building.
What I thought. Oh, I thought that they, really? They, and I was like, they really, and then later it's like, they do not load skyscrapers full of explosives like that. They're not doing that.
Well, I figured not, they maybe did, but just didn't tell people because nobody would want to work there.
Right. You know? But my brother worked on the Twin Towers. So I have 8 older brothers and sisters, my dad, my brother, they were welders. So they worked on it. My dad worked on the 6th basement and I called my brother and I said, "What did you think about that?" Years later, cause I didn't know it was an inside job until 2013. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you," he still doesn't know. Like he doesn't think about this stuff. He doesn't want to know. And he said when he saw that the first one go down, he was just like, astronomically unlikely. The odds are astronomical that would hit in a certain way, whatever, that it would bring it down. When he saw the second one, he just, in his mind, it was impossible, but he couldn't get past that. He was like, "Well, it might be impossible, but I just saw it." You know, he never thought, well, maybe they rigged it to demolish it ahead of time. Like that was not something he would have thought, but he still can't figure it out.
Like they say, it was three skyscrapers collapsed into their own footprint on the same day, and it's never happened before, never happened since.
One of them wasn't even hit by a plane.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, you know why I know that, you know, now I know that it wasn't, because initially I thought, well, they wired it with explosives when they built it, just in case of this kind of event, right?
I've read newspaper articles that say that's true.
Well, that's not even possible because, you know, while I was in the Army for quite some time, I was actually in charge of scheduling the ammunition for training. And once in a great while, we'd get like to get an AT-4 rocket or some really cool explosive. And I'm like, why is it? We're an engineer unit. Why are we getting these really cool boom booms?
Yeah, why?
And it turns out explosives, high explosives, have a shelf life. They have to be used.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So you couldn't build it into, it becomes unstable. I believe this is why we do these wars. Like we're sending all these weapons over to Israel. And we're sending
to get rid of them, to
buy new ones. Right.
That's interesting. You know? Now, well, to buy new ones is something I've thought of, but to dispose of them, you know, to incinerate the weapons themselves. Otherwise, you have a disposal problem, potentially.
Exactly.
That's interesting. That's sick. That's what we're dealing with. That these are people, whoever are doing that, these are people who must, and I thought this about 9/11 when I realized what happened, they have to just think of us as animals. Like they do not think of us as human beings or whatever they think of themselves. We are not that. It could be just a like extreme pathological elitism.
Well, wasn't it Henry Kissinger that said we're just a bunch of useless eaters?
Yes. And, I mean, and you know
that's
what?
Their whole thought process.
And that's what I thought about 9/11 is that they might have thought this is just a draft. We're just drafting people into this war. You know, just because they're secretaries, you want equal rights, then, you know, the boys who went to war in Vietnam were no more willing. They just knew they would be punished if they didn't go. And the difference is they had a chance.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, that huge influx after 9/11 was out of patriotism.
Yes.
A lot of people quit their jobs.
What an inversion.
Yeah, then I actually got out of the military for a while from 2005 until 2009. And when I came back in, it was kind of another similar huge influx, but that was because of the economy. People needed to have, and healthcare, the healthcare problem. Okay, they needed to have healthcare for their families. So the student loan debt was a big one that pulled people in. Healthcare, not having a job, you know, they're underwater on their house, you know, because we had the housing crisis. And
maybe
all
they
that.
Crash the economy when they need soldiers. They're saying there's a recruitment problem, so maybe that's as good a reason as any.
Well, that's when you open up the southern border and you let everybody come across that's of military age.
Well, that's, I mean,
we talk about that all the time. The recruitment is down 40%. So where do you get your next recruits from?
I know, but it's still dangerous because you have to be really...
I didn't say it wasn't dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be weaned on the Constitution to really understand it. You certainly have to be able to read it.
All right. Here's where you and I disagree. There's no Constitution anymore. Obama killed that when he said it was a living document, and now that's what they all ride on.
I think you would...
I know. You and I, there's a Constitution.
You guys would be less likely to put down an uprising.
Can we segue into something that mentioned in the southern border? I wanted to get Monica's thoughts on this. So right now, people that are on the right side of the aisle or conservative type people, they're calling for troops to come back and put them on the southern border. I keep hearing this. Put troops on the southern border because of this manufactured crisis, right? And I say that's a bad idea. I'll give you my opinion first because we're talking false flags here, right? So we have flooded our country with all kinds of people from all different countries, some of which are not friendly with us, of military age men. I also say they're working age men because we have a problem with not being able to support Social Security. So we need to bring in a workforce. Yeah, they're getting free stuff now, but that's going to go away. And then we're going to have people paying into the system to support. And we just had COVID, which killed off a bunch of old people to get rid of that portion of liability. So now we have something like this bridge collapse. And everyone's saying, oh, it's a false flag. It's a false flag. Well, how many more of these? We had all kinds of derailments last year, right? And all this stuff. This is not a black swan. We have this stuff happening all the time.
Yeah, the derailments do happen all the time. I mean, that East Palestine thing was a false flag, but generally, but yes.
If we jump on everything as a false flag right away, number one, it discredits, you know, if it happens to not be a false flag, it kind of discredits when we do come across one that
so
obviously
rarely,
is.
It's so rarely. Yeah.
But now let's just go back to the border. And this is how I see things potentially playing out, which is very dangerous. Calling active duty to operate outside of a military garrison, Washington, D.C., or a territory of the U.S. That's not constitutional. They can't operate outside of those three.
Right. Is that posse comitatus?
If we cry, because every time they have a problem, they want to offer the solution. So we're crying for a solution right now for the southern border, which is to bring active duty troops and station them on the border. There's going to have to be some kind of act of Congress done or a law change. Now, if that happens, and then we start saying, well, we got these black swan events, these false flags, it's got to be these illegals over here. How long until they take those guns that are pointing out of the border and turn them inward and start sending military into cities to supposedly round up these hostiles? And then now we have to show our papers, you know.
Defund the police is part of that.
Yeah.
So if you take the police out, you're going to need the military. And that's the wall, too. I'll tell you. Go ahead, Angus. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just saying that's where the Patriot Act started all that stuff too. I mean, yeah.
So when you say things like let's build a wall or send troops to the border, the problem is not a technical one. It's not like everyone wants the same thing and they just can't figure out how to stop those people. It's that there's it's policy, it's will, this is an operation that's being, you know, and it's like I say this about, I have a friend in Sweden and I laugh because I'm like, why don't you guys just build a wall to keep the Iraqis out? You know, there's Iraqis and Somalians. Those are the big immigration. It's because it's not a question of like, they can't, every single person is flown in there. Everyone from the demographics that are clashing with the native culture. And it's because of the policy. So we have this excuse, you know, we act like it's just a porosity problem on the border, but you could close it in a second. I have a friend who has a ranch on the Rio Grande. He said he used to go to the river and now he doesn't because the cartels have perches and they shoot people who cross the river. I mean, he could shoot people who got on his property if they would allow the private property to go right up against the border. You would actually secure the border that way. The problem is that the feds put the buffers in there. But if you didn't have feds, if you just had Texans straight up against the border, their laws right now would completely stop it. And that property would be cheap because you would have a serious problem, you know, but you would not have to pay that much for the buffer lands. And you would just have to secure them. You get your friends, you get some guns, get some weirdos who like to do it. And it would be done in 30 days. People would get the message.
Big problem is all the free crap they're giving everybody. And we know it's an operation.
It's not just porosity. It's the fact that they go to other countries and recruit people by telling them things like, there are some cities that have free hotel rooms for you. They go to places. I mean, I don't know if they're still doing it this way, but they would go to specific places and recruit for specific places. So why do you think there's a bunch of Somalians in Minneapolis? I mean, that is just not a natural way to go. You would think they would go where it's more similar to their climate. Warmer. Or, you know, like historically when it was totally organic, you had Swedes and stuff up there. They were able to tough it. They knew how to live like that so they could get that cheap land or do whatever kind of, you know, reindeer hunting or whatever industry was up there. That's an organic way of doing it, and that they are not doing it that way. It's obvious that it's being recruited. And when they put that human rights industry, this is another libertarian trap. People were doing like, oh, privatize. I'm like, it's not privatizing if the revenue stream comes from the government and then the provider, like the defense industry, it's not really a private industry. You don't need to make human rights or mercenaries or whatever. You take out all the accountability, all the transparency. You would think it would be more transparent, more accountable. No, when they say we will provide for these immigrants, we get $15,000 an immigrant, we'll help them fill out the paperwork. Catholic Charities does stuff like that. It's outrageous.
You know, it kills me though. Like some places are given welfare cards, you know, just the money alone. This is what kills me. I was in the military for 20 active duty for a combined 20 years.
Yeah.
And my retirement right now, they're getting more money than my retirement. And I still got to pay for my house. So they're getting free housing.
I pay taxes. I work my ass off. My husband works his ass off. And
but they're taking my money and redistributing it.
No, it's awful. And until, I mean, when you look at the welfare floor for anybody, you know, whatever, whoever gets welfare here, it's higher than, I mean, that's why you have a need, or that's not a need, but that is why people, lower income people can come over and get work. But it's different now. Like this Biden era crisis is definitely a psyop. It is not what I'm thinking about. Yes, they close the borders. They institute a lot of welfare minimum wage so that people here won't take those jobs. And, you know, I lived in Texas and people would just come over and they'd clean your house and you'd pay them. And it was fine. You know, and the tighter you get on the border, the less likely they're going to go back home when they get the money they need. They don't do that anymore because you tighten up the border. You know, it was all like a bad system. But now it's an attack.
It's a whole different ballgame. I lived in Cali. Really. Yeah, I lived in Cali for a while and I did, you know, manual labor and stuff. And I worked side by side with those guys that come over. They came over, they would earn money, they would send money back home to their family. That this is a different group of people here. This is an operation, like you said.
They take the worst. And I believe in the right to work and travel. Like my grandparents all came over when there were no border controls or their parents. And one of them went back. They were like, I can't, you know, his wife died in childbirth. My grandmother was a little baby. He gave her to an orphanage so that she'd have a better life, but he went back. He couldn't hack it. And that's the way it was. And they just, my mother said, they just checked you for diseases. And if you had a disease, you had to go back. And that also happened in my family.
I work in the foundry industry. In the early 2000s, I did a lot out in Southern California. And there's a lot of Mexicans working out there that, you know, and some were, you know, down in or along the Tijuana border would come across, work at one of my customers, and then go back.
Why not? Nothing wrong with
that. I mean, these are hardworking people. And so that's why the people coming in now, I question, because there's a labor shortage in every industry. So they're bringing in these people for cheap labor. No. Really? Because they're not working anywhere, because every place I know is shorthanded. So
that was Milton Friedman said, like, illegal immigration is actually the most economically free labor pool, because they come over, there's no minimum wage, there's no welfare, there's nothing. They're coming over to do a job. And if they don't have work, they go back because they are not accessing welfare or anything like that. So now you bring them over just to get the welfare. And boy, is that a cultural problem, because in order to fit into a culture, you have to learn the culture. You have, in order to work in a culture, you have to, you know, use the proper grooming. You have to be able to speak the language. You have to be able to do the job. If you come into a welfare situation, you can not only bring over a culture from the place you left, but you can, it will be a pathological culture, because it'll be a culture that didn't exist where you came from, a culture that just gets fed without having to produce, consumes without produce. And that's not healthy. That's bad. And that will create a different morality that doesn't work.
If you got rid of the welfare state and you got rid of the income tax, then immigration would not be a problem.
Minimum wage also.
Yeah. And minimum wage too. Minimum wage just makes everything more expensive.
I even think subsidizing higher education is a major problem, because you would have corporations, get rid of the corporate tax, and then corporations will train people. They'd come here because there's no taxes, and they would train people. You wouldn't have to pay for college. You pay for college the same for jazz musicians or jazz majors as you do for coders. And then you go and hijack the system so that IBM pays high schools to train coders, and then gets the community college to take the high school students and finish that training. I mean, it's very corrupt, that education system. You could just take if you took it all away, it would clear, and people wouldn't need as much to live even, because
The government sucks at everything. You know, going back to the infrastructure, you know, with the train derailments, we have the bridge, obviously there's been problems with bridges throughout the country. The one I was actually, was I here? I might've still been in Georgia, but I'm very familiar with St. Louis because I lived in and around St. Louis when I was a teen, and I grew up in Southern Illinois. There was one major bridge that crossed right there, and all these highways converged into it. Now that there's a couple others, but back in the day, you'd have to go like 50 miles in either direction, north or south, to cross the Mississippi. Well, that's the most busy bridge probably along the Mississippi, honestly. And they found structural cracks in it and had to shut it down.
Wow.
This was only a couple of years ago. So how many more of these bridges are like this? So again, that should be a state function. It shouldn't be a federal function, because the federal government sucks at everything.
I don't know if they do. I think they do bad things, but I'm not sure it's not on purpose a lot of times. I mean, look at the FAA. The FAA, not a single fatality in 10 or 15 years on U.S. run commercial jets. I mean, and it doesn't cost that much.
With what's going on with Boeing now, you got to start to wonder if they're, you know.
Well, I get texts like, you were calling this for years. I said, yeah, they're changing that. They don't want us to feel super comfortable flying for whatever reason, because maybe they want to switch to electric. Maybe they want to shut us down and force us all to just get into the digital world and just forget about traveling. Maybe they don't want us to physically talk to each other, go to other countries and say, oh, yeah, I'm not a monster, or, you know, I don't agree with the Ukraine war. I'm a captive of my government, you know.
Well, I think the no traveling thing is a big thing. This 15-minute city is actually not a conspiracy theory. They already have them zoned off.
I did like two deep dives on that. I mean, I have done so much work. I like a year or two ago, you can find, I mean, it's crazy what they're doing there. And I heard you talk about the Saudi Arabian thing. That's totally part of the same
line. Yeah, the line.
Around Dallas now and all out as they expand Dallas out. It's like you come to these communities and they all have a Walmart. They're all set up like almost exactly the same. And all the housing already has the fences around it. You know, you think it's to keep people out. It's
probably I lived in Dallas for 6 years.
Yeah. So you get out around Plano and all that, and you go further and further out, and there's all these communities. And they all have a bowling alley with a theater, a Walmart, your pharmacy right there. And it's not to make that convenient for you. It's because they're going to say, you can't go past here now. And that's all there is.
Yeah, they're little cities.
The whole COVID was, you know, part of COVID was to train us to stay at home.
Oh,
you know,
that is true.
Uber Eats. Yeah, get your
That's in the 15-minute city stuff. It used to be called, it used to have a different name, the digital city. They used to call it the digital city, and that didn't catch on. And they had all the plans. And this is where I discovered, because I would walk around and I said, you know, there are never unintended consequences, but I'll be darned, they can't have thought that people would be walking in the street. Like, traffic fatalities went up during COVID when no one was driving anywhere. And I'm waiting to find, like, I could never really find the smoking gun, but I think it's because everyone was walking in the street. I found it. They said they wanted people walking in the streets. They wanted to take parking spaces out. They wanted to flip it so that there's like scooters and bicycles on the sidewalk and kids playing in the street. This was pre-COVID. And that is what they did with COVID, but they had planned and wanted that. And boy, it worked.
So in New York City, I was during COVID, I was actually just chilling here in the studio with a buddy of ours, Little John. And we were just BSing a little bit, and I pulled up Google Maps and he wanted to walk me around his old neighborhood from New York, and the images were current, right? The images and I'm like, what are all these little pavilions in the street taking up one entire lane on either side of the road? Yep. There was like nowhere to drive, nowhere to park. Yep. And he said, well, everyone had to eat outside because of COVID. Yeah.
And New York is crazy, but that's what happened in Pasadena, which is basically where I live now. And it's still there. And you know what else they're doing? They're building curbs in the street. So they're, so we had a 4-lane road. It was just a city road. It wasn't like a highway road, but it just had 4 lanes, like turn lanes and stuff. It was a one-way street. And all of a sudden they built an island in the street between two of the lanes. And like now the far left lane is a bike lane. But they built the island. And when I was reading it, they're putting like where you have a 4-way stop sign, they're putting like an island. And it looks like a rotary, but it's not a rotary. So people get really confused because a rotary would be you can enter and yield and merge. But these are things that you need to stop, because when someone's coming like zipping around, you think they're going straight and they think they don't have to put their blinker on because they're making a left in front of you. It's incredibly dangerous. And there is absolutely no way it passed what used to be required for traffic stuff was like an actual study. And it's just dereliction of duty, or more likely they have a different set of protocols now. And one of them is from that 15-minute city type stuff is instead of doing traffic minimization, they're doing miles traveled minimization, which will really result in bad roads and bad policy, increased gas use. They act like it's climate related, but it makes gas worse because you idle for so long. And they're like, well, ultimately though, it'll just keep people from driving.
Well, and you got look at this snapshot from Progressive, and every car has got a freaking cellular connection now, and they're trying to see what you're doing. I believe, and Angus and I have talked about this, I believe that they want to track how far you drive so they can cut your vehicle off at some point.
Yeah.
So you have exceeded your carbon. It all goes back to the green agenda. You know, you've exceeded your carbon allowance. Angus talked about smart refrigerators. Oh, you've bought too much steak this month.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think they are eventually, when there's a digital currency, your like the cost of ice cream is going to go up with every ice cream you get.
Well, yeah, well, they, I mean, they know that by, you know, every grocery store now has a membership card, you know, so you scan it to get your discounts and then you scan all your stuff. and they're going to go, wait a minute, you had ice cream last week.
Have you been to an Amazon Fresh? Week. Yeah. Have you been to an Amazon Fresh?
No.
Amazon Fresh is a grocery store run by Amazon. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in a Woody Allen sleeper. So I only went to it once, but you walk in and the cart has like a little computer on it and you scan your stuff as you go.
Yes.
And it puts it in your Amazon account. Like my Amazon account now knows the food I'm buying and you just walk out. I don't think you have to stop. I think you can put your stuff in cart. There's two different ways you can go. You can go, I jacked in, or I need a cashier. And I was a little confused because I stopped for bags and they're like, oh, you don't have to, just take your bags and do it in the car. It's like, okay.
Our local grocery store has it where they have a scanner you walk around with. So now you pick an item up, you scan it in your cart. And then at the end you set it on and on the counter and it tabulates it off of that. Yeah. There you go.
So I've seen concepts where they're going to start using biometrics for that. So you walk into the store, you just grab what you need. It does your facial scan.
Yeah.
Maybe at the point that you grab it off the shelf, or maybe as you walk out the door, it's tracking what you've picked up and what you've gathered. And as you walk out, it just deducts it from your CBDC.
There's a little store in LA airport like that. I think you might have to put your credit card in to get to open the door.
Yes, they have. There's in Dallas. They have that now too. Dallas, Nashville. Nashville.
Yeah, and then you walk out, and I think it knows what you got.
Yep.
It's fucked up.
I won't go in, so
I couldn't tell you. I don't think we're going backwards on it. I don't think there's anything we can do about all this stuff. I just I don't know how to get my mind around it. My only hope is that they're scaring the shit out of us with the worst possible scenarios so that we accept what they actually end up with. Like I did a show with You're Missing the Point, an Australian guy, MISSEN is the name. And he asked me like, what's the future of America? And I gave him some answers of what I thought, but I realized after I got off with him, we hung up on each other, whatever, that they'll probably just do the same thing they did with COVID, with the policies, either with like climate lockdown or World War III or both, where they will make our lives miserable. Like, so the whole supply chain thing I thought was bull during COVID. It was what Jacques Ellul calls obsessional propaganda. He makes you feel, supposed to make you feel how bad the war is by ration cards. So like he was saying in World War II, the Americans didn't need ration cards, but they gave them to us so that we would feel the pain of the war, want it to end or whatever.
Wow, and that's PSYOP there. Ooh.
Yeah, that's hardcore PSYOP. Yeah, that's what he said they were doing. So they will, I feel like there's a chance that they will do that to us so that when we come out the other end, we'll be grateful for a freer than that, but not as free as before world, which is exactly what happened with COVID. When people want to talk about COVID, I'm like, I have PTSD from that. I cannot. It was horrible. It was horrible in LA. It was horrible to have teens here. It was just a terrible experience. And I never want to think about it again, which is, pretty dangerous. But I'm still recovering from that trauma. And I just... I'm just happy.
I mean, how many times you go in somewhere, I know I do it, and I think, oh, shit, I forgot my mask.
Yeah, but when I walk out the door, I'm always like, money, keys, cigarettes, and mask, Yeah. Well, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore, but like I always have my checklist of what I need, and I have mask in the list, which makes me want to puke.
Yeah, and that stays with you a long time. When I first got out the military, after being in for 6 years, now in the military, when you go into a building, you got to take your hat off, right? Okay. You come outside, you got to put your hat on. And when I got out, I didn't wear a hat. I had long hair, grew it out long, and it was really it screwed with my mind. Anytime I walked in or out of a building for probably 3 years, I would always, where's my hat? Where's my hat? Or like being deployed, you got to have your rifle with you within arm's reach at all times. You know how many times I'd be sitting at home, just relaxing after coming back from deployment, watching TV, and I'm just like, where's my rifle? Because it's a big deal if you lose your rifle.
Wow. Like,
it's training. It is repetitive training. And I'm really worried because one of the things I'm going to talk about in my show later tonight is this pandemic treaty And you're talking about COVID. We're going to give the WHO the power to declare what is and what is not an emergency and what we have to do. And it is legally binding potentially. So we're giving up our sovereignty. Like you said, it's a ratcheting effect. You know, we go so far over the limit for our liberties, then we bring it back just a little bit. And we're like, oh, great. We're good now.
And that really frees up the local politicians from any responsibility, which is what the big thing with Trump is, that he allowed that emergency order to stand and all the local guys could say, we're in a state of national emergency. We can do whatever we want. They couldn't, like, you could have fought it. Good lawyers could have fought that. But that was the excuse and it came from on high. And that is super dangerous because those people can't be trusted at all.
It's a two-way plausible deniability. Because like when, you know, they say, well, Trump never mandated anybody or Biden never mandated anybody to get the vaccines. Well, if I'm going to lose my job and if I go to the job about it, they say, well, we're just following the.
It's coercion is all it is.
Yeah, we're following the guidelines.
I had a mom. She had five kids. She was lovely, beautiful. And she would just send me pictures of like the great vegetables she would grow and like her, you know, little baby in a diaper crawling around in there. And she had like purple hair and just, she was just, you know, an unexpected person. You know, I'm not a purple hair person, but she was just, you know, her own person. She was great at everything that she was doing, which was all really great stuff. And her husband was a soldier and she was pregnant and he needed that job. Like he couldn't, I don't know if it was like a risk of going AWOL or what, but he could not take that stand. He had to get, you know, yet another vaccine and he wouldn't sleep in the same room as her. Like he, you know, when he came home, he just wasn't going to expose her to it. But I, you know, my heart absolutely broke for them. It broke for them because what are you supposed to, they didn't hold him down, but it's just, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. And that's how they all did it. And it was at his feet with Fauci and Warp Speed and stuff. Come on. He's not going to save us. Battle.
I made it to my retirement without having to get it. But they made my life miserable. And we bought this house that I'm in now a year and a half before my retirement because I didn't know if they were going to kick me out tomorrow and we needed to have a place to go. We planned for it. And you're right. If you made that stand, you had to be ready to be kicked out tomorrow. Yeah. And then if you
can't do that with a bonus,
if you had like a bonus or something that was attached to your enlistment, they were going to ask you for that money back. You know, and like if they paid your student loans off, you know, as part of your enlistment contract, well, we need that money back. Well, who has that money?
Yeah, you know? I had that problem once I lost my job and it was totally unfair. They had a contract. They paid me in advance and they fired me or they paid me like half in advance. And I had to, in order to fight it, my lawyer said, like, they want their money back. You have to give it back to them and then fight to get it repaid to you, which was a terrible thing because I don't even know how I don't know how I ended up getting the money back, but it was very intimidating. Like you don't want to take that fight on because it's a big, big risk and they hold the cards. But I really felt for the people who, especially the men, I mean, and women who were responsible for families and stuff, but the men had to do it sometimes. And like, if you were a stay-at-home mom, you really weren't at that much risk, but people would yell at me like, what are you telling people if they have to get the vax? Nobody has to get the vax. I'm like, if you have to get the vax, put fucking ice on your arm before, during and after, like just do something 4 hours, just freeze it there. But there are other things you can do. And they're like, why are you trying to help people? I'm like, because some people, they just can't, there are too many other people rely on them. Yeah, so that's why it was just unconscionable. I mean, these people, I know why my father used to say, like, I hope there's a hell.
Yeah. Well, I know somebody that I'm pretty sure died from it and he had a wife and three kids and he took it. Well, he was kind of a supporter of the vaccine initially anyway, but I know that he took it being experimental because he wanted to make sure he kept his job in the military.
Yeah. Did he know in the end what happened to him?
Well, he died of a heart aneurysm. Very young, healthy guy. He was out doing some kind of a PT challenge or something. And the guy was super awesome, like in shape. Never had any problems. He was like a machine.
Did his father die of an aneurysm at a young age? Pulmonary aneurysm?
No, it was, I know exactly what caused it. And, but you know, that mindset, and I thought about this too, you know, if they kick me out and I can't take care of my family, at least I'm still here to do something to take care of my family.
Right.
If I take the jab and I end up getting killed, who's going to take care of my family?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's, I don't know, kind of how I justified, you know, if they kick me out, they kick me out. I'll just figure it out. And then going back to the having to pay money back, when you get an Army bonus, they tax the crap out of it. I'm telling right. you, they tax it to the hilt.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You don't get at least one third of your, some kind of crazy tax that they put on it. So let's just say I got $50,000 bonus. I got into like cybersecurity or something. They really, really needed people. And I'm like, yeah, $50,000. Cool.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So I jump in, they give me my $50,000, and then I get kicked out because they wouldn't take the jab a month later. I don't have that $50,000 because they taxed it, but they're going to want $50,000 back.
And then what, you have to get your taxes back separately, right? Yeah. Like that would be the argument. Wow. That's messed up.
That's something people don't think about, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's could be part of the why they give you the bonus, is that they know there's no turning back then.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll hold it over your head. No, I think they actually do prorate it though. Like if you serve half of your time, then you only got to return half of that bonus. But
did we freeze?
I didn't.
What else do you got, Angus?
Yeah, actually, Monica, yours is frozen.
Dang it. This hasn't happened to me in a long time. Well, I can't even I'll just turn my camera off if I can get my mouse to work. We could still chit chat.
You're getting hacked right now.
Oh my gosh.
So I wanted to pick your brain on something. Unless you had something else.
No, Angus, keep talking.
I wanted to talk about this guns in the sky, as I call it. I was looking at this patent, and I think Bezos did it. I think that's what somebody dropped it in the chat, and I found it interesting. They said something about Bezos applying for a patent, and there's this it's basically a space weapon, and it's filed under power distribution and management. I'll actually throw it on the screen here. So it's a dispersed space-based laser weapon and power generator. So weapons in the title, right? And we're not supposed to have weapons in space, by the way. We have an agreement right here, the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, which has no expiration date. And it says that prohibits placing in orbit around the Earth any objects carrying nuclear weapons or any other kind of weapons of mass destruction. I would say a space laser, like this thing that it was actually based on this Navy technology that we can see on the screen here. It is pretty much weapon of mass destruction. So anyway, they got it through, or they're filing under power distribution and management. And this is the same thing. Hey, we're good now. I can see your video.
Yes.
This is the same thing that they were talking about, powering military bases. And they were talking about using Starlink for this, but this is actually a whole different setup, because this is way, way out there. It's a lot further out than Starlink is. And what it's going to do is collect solar, store the energy, transmit it in the form of microwave. Then it hits the other receiver, which in this case, for the weapons aspect, is going to be like some sort of ICBM that's flying. They beam the energy to it. Then it's converted to a laser, which then can like have an atomic size blast without the radiation. That's what this patent is for, but it's power distribution.
And energy. Is it a weapon of war?
It's,
or is it a vehicle of electric of transmitting?
Well, its title is a weapon, so I don't know of any weapons of peace. So it's got to be a weapon. Yeah, of war,
right.
It's sold as power transmission. Yeah. However, 90% of this patent has to deal with weaponry. Go ahead.
I find I don't like what they're doing in the skies. I think that's super majorly bad. But also, when you cross the space barrier. So if you're introducing massive amounts of energy into the system, like I think the system is closed. And it worries me if they do things like blow holes in the ozone, you know, which they've done on purpose, and and bring like massive amounts of whatever kind of energy into the system. I mean, the arrogance of that alone, not just what they're going to do with it, but the fact that they have no sense of the balance.
Well, it's kind of like when they did the first nuclear tests. They're like, we don't know if it's going to go on forever and burn up the whole atmosphere. Yeah. Should we do it? Yeah,
they why not? Anyway. And they did in the stratosphere, and then they told us it was our hairspray that blew a hole in the stratosphere. Yeah. Like,
in our air conditioning.
Or the nuclear weapon you blew up.
It's like this, the CERN collider. Who asked you people to do this stuff? You know, what gives you the right just to go ahead and do all this stuff and then go, we didn't mean to create that black hole.
You've read
a little late now, but
you've read Technological Slavery by Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, no, I just
what he says is because he was the youngest, Ted Kaczynski was the youngest person at that time to go to Harvard. He was the youngest, I think, math professor at Berkeley. And he said so he was on track to be one of these people. And he said that these scientists, like at CERN, for example, which wasn't his example because it was before that, but he said they have what they're experimenting with has a non-zero chance of blowing up the universe, or at least the Earth, you know, a non-zero chance. And in their minds, the way they weigh what they're doing is I can do this, which may get the chance of getting me a Nobel Prize, and it also has a chance of killing me. But they don't weigh the killing me by 123 billion or whatever, like, you know, how many people have lived in the past. Let's say that's the same amount of people. They don't weigh it like that. They simply weigh the glory of a Nobel Prize with a chance of dying. I mean, Evel Knievel did it just for fun, like risked his life, but he said they just don't weigh. There's no multiplier for the impact on other people.
Is that because people typically like that aren't really social people either? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most of the people I've known, you know, brilliant engineers and stuff, no offense, Jason, they're not very social. Especially electrical engineers. I worked with a lot of them and they have no social skills.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that's part of that is, you know, well, hey, if I win the award or I kill myself, that's fine. I don't even think about anybody else at that point.
Well, that colleague prestige is very important for academic.
He said that they would tell each other how important their work was. And these were mathematicians. And I don't know if he confronted them or this was just the reason he quit, but his argument was, that's total bullshit. Like you're just fucking, you know, it's just masturbation. Like you're just using your brain to use your brain. You're doing math to do math. You're not saving poor people in Africa like you think you are. You know, you're not doing that.
Everyone in the military thinks that their job is the most important job in the military as well.
It's a great way to get people to do what you want them to do and never think about what else they could, you know, one of my mother's dying phrases was, you know, ask yourself, what do I have to give? And if someone says what you have to give is to, you know, do math in an air conditioned place in Silicon Valley, you know, that's what you have to give.
You look at entertainers, you know, they all their awards, you know, oh, I got to win this one. What difference does it make? I mean, you know, it's just glamorizing each other, you know, music is the same way. It's not about the fulfillment of it.
Yeah. And there is creative, you know, as like a raised as very poor Catholic, like there was no real appreciation for high art at all. Like to the point where my parents were like, cannot believe these people give tens of millions of dollars to the opera when there are people starving. And my parents put their money where their mouth was. I mean, they didn't have much, but they would spend their time. Like they would work through like corporal works of mercy and stuff. They would visit the sick and they would do all that kind of stuff. They would look for opportunities to do it really. And I mean, it's just a different way of thinking about it, but that self-aggrandizement. And my father would laugh when he would see somebody's name on top of a pavilion at a hospital. He's like, see, I could have done it and gotten his reward in heaven, but he took it here.
Well, here. You and I had a little conversation about the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yes.
What's it called now?
The Governor Mario Cuomo Bridge.
It's like, my God.
And Andrew Cuomo named it. Shouldn't there be a rule against that? Like the people are voting like, I think he's just naming it after his father. Oh, no. I'm naming it after the second greatest governor of New York.
You know? Yeah, right. Andrew was the first, and he was. But it was kind of funny because as they're building the new bridge, I used to drive that way, like, you know, at least twice a month. And, you know, you see the signs for the Tappan Zee Bridge and you get closer. And the next week, that one says the Mario Cuomo. But the one before, it just kind of like phased it in as you're driving.
Doesn't it look like a runway? Doesn't it look like they're gonna land short wing planes on there?
I good luck to them if they want. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Like it's absolutely like if you had those like crazy ass helicopters like with the two things and just hover down or hover planes, like it just looks very
It looks like that.
It could be a multitasking thing. It's got super, I believe, if I recall correctly, does it not have super huge markings on the lanes?
Yeah. It went from a five lane bridge, because they would alternate the lanes depending on the traffic.
Yeah, I remember.
Now it's 2 5 lane bridges actually side by side.
That's a big bridge.
It's a nice bridge.
It's nice. I mean, it's definitely a marvel, but it just seems to me that they could.
Yeah, just name it after somebody because you want to.
Yeah. And build it because you want
to. I don't care.
You think there was nothing really wrong with the Tappan Zee Bridge? We didn't understand.
It was old, but I just would have just left that name up because that name is actually historical. It has something to do with the Dutch.
Yes. Z, I assume, is C. But Tappan Zee was it was from New Amsterdam. It was that
old expression.
Yeah. I'm looking up what it means.
All right. Hey, I'm gonna throw this out here because I
mean cold water sea.
I wanted to pick your brain on one more thing before we run out of time. Going back to this energy beaming. If we take away the whole aspect of the weaponizing it, which is pretty interesting. You read this stuff, it's like, you know, evil villain kind of monologue here in this thing. But so anyway, the way it's gonna work, and I find this very interesting. We've done a lot of shows on EMF and the dangers of EMF.
Yeah.
I've had doctors on to talk about it.
Hey, I think I have. Let's see. Yeah. Look at this. Is a bookmark in a book I was reading today. Can you see what it says?
Wireless EMF.
Wireless EMF. Yep.
Yeah.
All you got to do is just go to a cell phone tower and read the warning labels. That's all you got to do.
You want to get that close to it, though.
Yeah.
And I worked in communications, so I actually knew a long time ago there was dangers with it because we were taught that in our training.
Yes.
But they pretend like it's not a big deal because it's just a smaller device, you know. But anyway, so check this out. This is kind of crazy. So I want to kind of paraphrase it to speed it up, but they're going to fly these satellites 22,500 miles. So these are not the Starlink ones. Those are a lot closer. Those are like 500 or 600 kilometers or something. So these are geosynchronous. They will stay in the same spot all the time. They'll collect solar. They'll convert it into microwave at 2.45 gigahertz or 5.8 gigahertz. You know what 2.5 is? That's what your microwave works on. That is the exact frequency your microwave works on. And it also, some cell phones operate at that, just depending on which band you're in and which carrier. So this is stuff you cook your food with.
Yeah.
So
I mean, is that the point of it? Is it going to cook you?
I think it's just, maybe it's more efficient for converting it back to electricity. So I'm not really sure. But the 5.8 gig is the other band, potentially. So they're going to beam it down to Earth to a receiver they call a rectenna, not an antenna, but a rectenna, and convert the microwave energy back into electricity, which would then be sent to the grid. So that's the benign, you know, the non,
I understand,
you know, weapon. But now you go down a little further in this. The beam of microwave energy would measure a mile or two across. talks some more about it. Some energy is going to be lost. What could possibly go wrong? And it says they don't even know. Could birds or human beings be harmed?
Of course.
Imagine that. Birds flying through that shower of microwave.
About the things that you don't see?
Yeah.
You know, what about what you don't? You have no idea what impact that would have. That kind of a disruption in, you know, weather and stuff.
Exactly. I mean, HAARP's been messing with that for years.
I was going to say the HAARP's technology, they've been, you know, I think all that was probably building up to this, you know,
because this is probably all Tesla stuff.
They gave HAARPs away to some university which means that the government or the military now has something better. We're done with this. Yeah. We've done all we need. And here you go now going into this Bezos thing.
But you got a bunch of college kids doing whatever now, you know?
Isn't it Tesla stuff? That kind of thing is like Tesla.
Jason and I were talking about earlier today when he called me about this. I said, it sounds like the Nikolai Tesla stuff that disappeared when he died.
John Trump. Got it.
Yeah.
They actually cite that. They cite that in here. It's either here or the other article that where they've already tested this wireless transmission of electricity. Now, here's where I wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah.
Going back to the Hawaii fires.
Yeah.
In this, and I didn't know this until today, actually, another group sponsored by the Discovery Channel conducted land-based tests of this technology last year. This is a current application. So last year they tested this in Maui, Hawaii. So you people were talking about directed energy weapons and stuff, and I'm like, oh, come on, don't. Could it be that they started this fire by accident while testing this, which it just definitely would be possible.
Yeah.
It's directed energy. It's actually directed energy.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't be surprised if that could be accidental, only because the idea of the directed energy weapon as a way to start those fires seems unnecessary. You know, it seems kind of complicated. So, you know, if they were doing testing or whatever, or it was a test, I mean, whether it was an accidental fire or it was a test of that thing, that would be more plausible than they wanted to burn it down. And this is how they decided to do it.
Well, their test was supposed to be a point to point across 90 miles, which is kind of odd to me because not to go flat earth on you or anything, but when I was in the Army and we would put our antennas up, because that's what I initially went in for, was point to point microwave communications. Mm-hmm. Our limit was 50 miles before
my brother was a Vietnam era. He was in Thailand during Vietnam in the Air Force and he did the radio.
Okay, so he would know. You can't go forever. You know, there's a curvature.
Oh, problem. Yeah. He would tell me, like, when I was on the radio at night, at midnight, and he was a truck driver, he could hear me from, like, I mean, I got calls from Mexico, from Chicago, out of Atlanta, because they could hear me. I was on a clear channel station, and he said he could hear me for 1,000 miles. So, yeah,
if it's at
night,
like ham radio and the CB radio, those will kind of bounce around in the
thing. Yeah, he said it'll bounce around forever.
Yep. But for point to point,
point to point,
you have to have a line of sight. And I don't know. They said they were testing this stuff 90 miles across. Now, I don't know how that's possible. Of course, they do. You know what? If they had them on top of a couple of volcanoes, maybe. But I just something to think about. I know you looked into the Maui fires.
Yeah, but I never went down the directed energy weapon road because I felt like it's something so not in my wheelhouse that how would I know? How would I, you know, you have to know stuff to be able to evaluate whether it makes sense or not, like the ship and the bridge. Like, I don't know enough. I know enough to know that they will exploit it for their own purposes. And I know that if there's money flowing there, it'll get into the hands of, you know, people who will make the politicians benefit from it, all that. I know that, but there was no way for me to evaluate it. And it seemed like it would take so much time to figure it out. That's when I go with that idea that Angus was saying, like some of this stuff is a trap of getting you. I think like it'll waste your time. For me to have figured out directed energy weapons in order to understand the Hawaii thing, it would have taken me a week. And what difference would it have made?
That is true.
And I look at another one, the Amarillo fires recently. This is where I thought about this because people said there's pictures of arcs and stuff like that prior to. You know, and it's like, oh, I don't know. I mean, fires happen, but then Biden gets on there and he's talking about, well, you know, you fly over and you see these houses that are standing because they had the right roof. It's like you people just put this crap out there just because you know it messes with people.
Yeah.
I mean,
when they have 5-6 fires starting simultaneously and just devastating ranch land, you know, out here, even in California, they were having the wildfires. They were all started by extreme negligence at a utility company, or in one case nearby, it was burning trash, like a municipal trash truck dumped burning trash into the brush and started one of these fires. It was like, come on, why would they do that? Right.
So you remember the Canadian wildfires, was that last year?
Yeah.
And down here in Connecticut, and actually in, I think I was in your area, Jason, people were complaining about the smoke from the Canadian wildfires. One of my colleagues who's from Canada, up in Toronto, never said anything about smoke. I said, well, that's a little strange, right? So now during the Amarillo fires, I'm in the Dallas area, and it's like, I would think that these fires are burning. Wouldn't I like smell it?
Are your sunsets? It
looked normal, but it's like, so why wouldn't I see that if I'm fires up in Canada, down here in Connecticut, you know, supposedly.
That was the whole thing,
it's just like, man, just sometimes things don't add up and you wonder what they're actually doing. Again, is it just, they just like to mess with people, throw you off the scent of.
And they have total control of the media. So a lot of this, like you see stuff going on over, you know, in Ukraine and the Middle East or stuff, who really knows? Who really knows?
The Ukraine one, I don't even think is happening. I just think that's money laundering flat out.
Yeah.
You know, at least the Israeli war, you know, if you want to call it a war, there's actual footage.
Yeah, so, I can't call it a war until I see two armies.
Everything in Ukraine is like, you know, B-17 flying over.
They got a lot. Ukraine was one of the most corrupt countries in the world, if not the most corrupt. And that is when Biden and Kerry and all those guys just cleaned up over there. And I think that's why Giuliani was over there. He probably wanted a piece of the action. Yeah. And they're like, no, this is a Democrat thing.
Here's a trivia question. The ship that hit the bridge in Baltimore, where was the captain from?
The current or a former captain?
I thought it was the current.
I think it was the former captain was from Ukraine, and the current ones were all Indian.
Oh, were they?
I don't even know.
I mean, that's the kind of one of those things. You know, you see somebody go, the captain who was from Ukraine. I didn't know there was another one.
Yeah, I saw that in a debunking thing. Like, this is how we know Alex Jones is completely wrong about the whole story, because he got this fact wrong and people repeated it. So that is like one of those false facts that I think go out there to discredit the bigger picture.
Jason always catches those. You know, people say, well, there's mosquitoes spreading diseases, and they'll say there's a certain kind of mosquito.
Yeah.
And then they'll fact check it and go, no, that's not true. This story is incorrect because it's actually a different type of mosquito.
Right.
It's still
a
mosquito doing it, but it's a different type.
Like, they frame the question, you know, so that they the whole can thing. It.
Yeah, and that's why I no longer have a YouTube account, because
But
hey, I know we kept you.
Yeah, that's okay.
The whole time. Let's go ahead and plug you a little bit. Sure. I've got your website up here. And
thank you. I need to fix my header a little bit, but yeah. So that's the latest incarnation of my work, the Monica Perez Show. But I have tons and tons of video and audio, and I had a bunch of. I used to blog a lot, but once my WordPress site was taken down, a lot of that stuff got lost, but there's still tons. I love my new newsreel. That's what Angus is always hanging out with me for. That was a good union of the unwanted. We had a lot of talk about that. So if people want to listen to my show, my favorite stuff is my solo stuff, where I just hit the news of the day, and I try to do it kind of before anybody else, so that you don't have to listen to the actual news. It's supposed to be like instead of radio. It's not a post, you know, game analysis. It's like during the game. And you can listen to that at the Monica Perez Show anywhere.
All right. And I was watching you a few days ago on your Twitter here, your X.
Yeah.
I call it Twix because you got Twitter.
Dude, nice. Twix. Yeah, at Monica Perez Show. I'm pretty hardcore shadow banned there. I have like 19,000 followers and no hearts, no likes, nothing.
I could not find you on Rumble. You had to tell me in the chat.
Yep. Oh, yes, that's right. You were there.
Yeah, and I had to literally type this in verbatim for you to pop up. So now I'm following you, so it's not a problem.
I know. It's so depressing.
And you've got YouTube.
Yeah.
And we're, for the listeners out there, we are going to be putting Monica on our, y'all know this place.
That's great. Thank you.
And the schedule.
That's cool. That's a real value added thing that you're doing there.
And so my last question for you is, because you were able to answer me in real time on the, you know, in the chat, do you do all like produce all by yourself, or do you have some, because a lot of people we talk to have a producer.
My producer, like after the fact, will change, you know, whatever my thing is to the podcast. That's all he does. So I prepare everything. I go to StreamYard. I can put everything up by myself. He has to do Rockfin and Instagram because those need to be like in real time turned live if you want to do it there. Mm-hmm. So he'll like pop in and do that in the beginning. And then at the end, I not only record it on YouTube, but I record it on GarageBand. And then I just hit share for that file, send it to him. He processes it and puts it on my in my podcasting feed within an hour. So it's great. So we talk at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're driving home from work at 6 o'clock on or 7 o'clock on the East Coast, you can hear it. And it's the news of the day. Like, and that's great. But I'm very proud of the fact that I have developed such powers of concentration because I get up, I have to get I have this giant baby. My oldest son has Down syndrome. So I have to always still take care of him, even like, you know, hygienically and stuff. So I'm not ready to go till 8 a.m. And I just sit there for 6 hours. And if my mind wanders at all, I'm like, no, no, like power through. And sometimes it's boring, not too much. I think I'm really good at picking the interesting stories, but like when it's something that doesn't engage me, it's a little hard for me to like, it's, you know, the political stuff, like the budget that you're talking about. Yeah, it's so hard for me to focus on that. But I feel like I'm like reverse ADHD. I'm just like, zzz.
All right. Well, that's quite impressive because, you know, I always assumed you had somebody behind the scenes pushing the buttons and you're just in front of the mic. But then when you started answering the questions on, I was like, oh, wow, that's
no, it's really it's the doing the research and the prep and the organization and crafting it into a story and getting flow that's why I feel like it's my special talent, because 8.5 years on that big radio station, I had like the greatest program director and he just, I mean, it took a long time, but I would do my show and I would listen to it and I would go back and the next time I would try to do better. And I just got pretty good at that. And then when I lost my job, I felt like it was such a waste that I had these skills and I had great caller skills. And so I'm going to have to figure out a way to start getting calls. But what you want calls who are hostile to you so that you can have a little back and forth. Just having people call to give you snaps isn't
good. Right. When you're ready for that, you let me know and I'll call you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I had hostile callers because I was on the conservative
side. I wouldn't be hostile, but I'll debate stuff with you.
Yeah,
because like I said, I don't always agree with you on stuff, but
yeah, that's, you know. I love that. That's all I want. And I want to be corrected. I hope I'm wrong about everything. Are you kidding me? Yikes. Yeah. You won't do that. My vision of the world is not bright. Anyway, so I go on and on. Well, guys, this was super fun. And if you want to send me send me the files, then I'll make a little highlight reel or Bobby will make a highlight reel. That's not something I would do. And you can share. I'll share your show with my listeners.
Yeah, I'll send it to Angus and he'll shoot you the link. And then I even did a thumbnail if you want to use it.
So. Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'll just we make a highlight reel of it. And then so people hear a taste and then we tell them if you want to hear the full show, go to these guys. And then hopefully they'll, you know, look at your cool stuff and become new listeners.
Awesome. Cool. All appreciate right. Well, what you got, Angus? Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, no closing thoughts. I think we covered pretty much it was a lot of good conversation for sure.
I hope you guys will still come in person and hang out with me during my live show.
Absolutely, I will. When I'm not traveling, I'm always listening. So
yeah, it always makes me happy to see Angus in there. And now Jason, I didn't know you were the same Jason.
Yeah, I got a couple of different logins because I got one for my other show and one for this. So sometimes I don't even know which one I'm on until I type something. So, but anyway, so thank you so much for joining us. This has been a fascinating conversation, and it was really good to finally meet you. I can't wait to see you on Tiger's program again, and you'll have to come join us again.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, and thanks to everybody out there. Oh, sorry. Thanks to everybody out there listening tomorrow in the future. I will be there in chat. Angus will be there in chat. And we will see you next time.
All right.